Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on India-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement. The participants are Anil Wadhwa, former ambassador, and Niharika Bhuvania, anchor.
Good evening and welcome to today's episode of Spotlight. Today indeed marks a major economic and strategic milestone in India's engagement with the Indo-Pacific region. With the conclusion of a comprehensive, balanced and forward-looking free trade agreement with New Zealand. Before we dive into it deeper, let's have a report by our correspondent.
India has signed a number of free trade agreements. Today, India and New Zealand announced a free trade agreement. This year, the government has signed three trade agreements with the UK, Oman and New Zealand. There are various types of trade agreements. The preferential trade agreements or PTAs are the ones which offer selective tariff cuts only on specific goods, which is the exact opposite of the FTA, which directly eliminates or reduces tariffs on most goods. The Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or the CEPA, on the other hand, promotes broader international ties by expanding beyond just free trades of goods and incorporates services, investment, intellectual property, and regulatory cooperation. This is a report by Meghna Bose from Akashvani.
And to discuss this further, we have former Ambassador Mr. Anil Wadhwa with us. Good evening, Mr. Wadhwa. Thank you so much for joining us on Spotlight today.
Good evening. It's my pleasure.
I would like to know, why is this FTA being called as one of India's fastest concluded FTA? And second, what are some points worth noting about this trade agreement and how does it stand to benefit the common people?
India-New Zealand free trade agreement, which was concluded today after some very intensive negotiations. I think there were just four intensive rounds, although these negotiations started as many as 11 years ago. And over the past 17 months or so, we've seen a conclusion of this agreement. Actually, it marks a watershed moment in bilateral economic relations between India and New Zealand. And it is one of the fastest negotiated FTAs that India has concluded with a developed economy. And that reflects not only very strong trade ambitions, but also broader strategic alignments in a dynamic global landscape. Actually, if you look at the agreement at its core, it seeks to not only strengthen bilateral trade and expand our market access, but also enhance investment flows and deepen cooperation across goods, services, agriculture, and most importantly, people-to-people mobility. How does it affect, how is it of benefit to the people? First of all, in goods and trade liberalization, where one of the most decisive elements of this FTA is the zero-duty market access that India will enjoy for 100% of its exports to New Zealand once the agreement is operational. And this means no customs duty on all Indian exported products, which is a boon particularly for labor-intensive value-added sectors such as textiles, leather, footwear, our engineering goods, marine products, gems and jewelry, handicrafts, automobiles, electronics, pharmaceuticals. For New Zealand, while not all products become duty-free immediately, tariffs on about 95% of its exports to India will be removed or significantly reduced over time. Substantial share of these, that includes forestry products, wool, coal, iron, steel, horticultural product, and seafood, a lot of seafood, not all seafood, they will see tariff elimination from day one or phased reduction within a decade. So this degree of tariff liberalization is amongst the highest that New Zealand has secured in any FTA. Even so, I must point out here that today the Foreign Minister of New Zealand has criticized this agreement, saying it was heavily weighted in favor of India and it's a bad agreement for New Zealand, which should actually make Indian negotiators pleased, but the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. Most importantly, I'd like to point out that India just has safeguarded certain sensitive domestic sectors, meaning some agricultural and dairy imports, and that includes things like milk, cheese, edible oils, sugar, spices, and coffee. They are not fully covered under market access commitments. And these exclusions actually aim to protect Indian farmers and micro, small, and medium enterprises from sudden market disruptions. Second aspect is the services and mobility aspect, where this agreement goes beyond goods and offers significant market access and services, because India has secured provisions covering over 118 service sectors. So that includes IT and IT-enabled services, also some professional services, finance, education, tourism, and construction. So this offers Indian companies expanded opportunities in high-value segment of the global economy. A standout provision is the creation of temporary employment entry visas, which allows up to 5,000 Indian professionals at any time to work in New Zealand for up to 3 years, which is, I think, a major gain for Indian talent. There's also a working holiday visa scheme that enables mobility for young Indians. One important feature is the innovative aspect of this pact, that is the investment destination, because New Zealand is pledged to facilitate up to $20 billion in investments into India over 15 years. And that includes areas like manufacturing, infrastructure services, innovation and job creation, all aligning with India's Make in India and broader economic development goals. While agriculture is partially protected, the agreement includes some cooperative frameworks such as agri-technology action plans and centers of excellence to enhance productivity and quality, especially for fruits like apples and kiwi fruit and honey. These initiatives reflect an emphasis on technology transfer and capacity building within agricultural value chains.
Well, I think that gives us quite an overview of what this trade agreement has been all about. And before we get down to discussing each of these points comprehensively, let's very briefly talk about the fact that this is actually the third trade agreement in the last 6 months. So there was one with Oman recently, and there was also one FTA with the UK. Just very briefly, why does the world want to work with India so closely on the economic front? And how does a country that works with India on the economic front stand to benefit?
It's very important for the world to work with India because India obviously is a very large market, and market access in India means that the domestic industries of these countries would have an avenue to expand. And also there are a lot of other opportunities which arise, because if you work with India, then obviously you combine that with investments and you also find innovative ways of being in the market. And for many of these countries, that is an added plus. Also, there's a question of trust which comes in if you have a basic FTA in place. You mentioned about UK and Oman. These agreements are all part of India's broader strategy today to diversify not only our export markets, because there are global tariff pressures now. India is not an exception. And, you know, when we had the UK-India FTA signed, that was done to boost our annual trade significantly, but also, you know, there were some very deep tariff cuts across a wide range of goods. So those are beneficial for both economies. Now, if you compare this agreement with the India-UK agreement, I think this agreement is remarkable for its zero duty on all Indian exports and substantial service and mobility provisions, despite the relatively smaller scale of current trade that we have. So I think the focus has been on trying to build complementary economic linkage rather than simply lowering of tariffs. And also, you know, there's a formal investment commitment by New Zealand, which is less common in traditional FTAs. The only other FTA we had was with the EFTA countries, which had a similar kind of provision. But coming from New Zealand, I think this is quite significant.
On that note, let's quickly listen to what Union Minister Piyush Goyal has said on the matter.
Under Prime Minister Narendra Modi's leadership, this is the seventh free trade agreement, all of them with developed economies, with economies with significantly larger per capita incomes than India, demonstrating that we are expanding trade relations rapidly with countries who complement the Indian economy rather than compete with India. The FTA turns New Zealand ties from friendly to formidable, especially for trade, innovation, and youth-driven growth. This is a free trade agreement with New Zealand, which is both comprehensive and forward-looking.
This elimination of tariffs on 100% of tariff lines is one factor which spells good news for every sector in the Indian economy. But do you think any sectors in particular, in specific, stand to benefit from this provision?
The sectors which actually will benefit a lot are the labor-intensive sectors in particular, because here what we will see is that, things like our textiles, for instance, or leather goods or gems and jewelry, engineering goods, all these get an added avenue for exports. Now, if you look at what is happening in the context of the United States, where India has not been able to export at least goods worth about $42 billion into the U.S. market because of the steep tariffs that Indian exporters face there. All in all, about 50% of tariffs which have been imposed, 25% was imposed earlier, and 25% for buying Russian oil. That has sort of spurred these industries or these sectors to find alternative markets. And obviously, when you find FTAs like this, then there's a natural corollary that the exports would be diversified and go into these kind of markets, which are now offering zero duty to Indian goods. So India is consciously trying to diversify its destination markets. And that, I think, has worked quite well so far. But nonetheless, I think the direction for India is quite clear, because the government wants to give avenues for its labor-intensive exports to find their way into different markets around the world.
It's important to mention that Indian professions, which were, before, they were not usually covered in FTAs. But with this one, people such as Ayush practitioners or yoga instructors, Indian chefs, they also become a part of this arrangement in a greater way, right?
Yes, of course. And it's good that these sectors have been opened up in other FTAs before this. So that sets a precedent. It started off with Australia first, and thereafter we found a similar provision has come into the UK, SECA as well. And so India has been trying to open up these sectors and give them a chance also to make sure that they're able to export their wares abroad, and thereby creating linkages, which means development of these sectors in the wellness sector, for example, in India, which will also start flourishing. Now, once you have that, then obviously it has a ripple effect on sectors like tourism.
Very well, Ambassador Wadhwa. So as we look at winding up the conversation now, I'd just like to know your views on the $20 billion US dollars investment that New Zealand has committed to make into India over the next 15 years. How is that going to support the Make in India vision, and which sectors are we looking at to invest in the most?
So New Zealand has pledged to facilitate up to $20 billion in investments into India over 15 years. And the areas that were discussed during the negotiations, I believe, were manufacturing, particularly with reference to the PLI schemes which exist in the Indian economy, in infrastructure, in services, in innovation and job creation. And all these align with India's Make in India vision and broader development goals. Investment protection and mechanisms have also been discussed, which are all designed to foster long-term business confidence, because if you have investments taking off between our economies, then obviously the linkages with the New Zealand economy will become very strong going forward.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Spotlight. I think we now have a much better understanding of this new FTA.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement. The participants were Anil Wadhwa, former ambassador, and Niharika Bhuvania, anchor. The program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on a YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.